Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the High Tea Hoops podcast.
High Tea Hoops.
Skylar, the Duchess of Hoops, here with Brian, the Duke of Hoops, as always. Brian, it's a couple days post-Christmas. How's it going?
We're back. We took a little Christmas break there to watch a lot of basketball.
Yep.
And I'm doing great. There's British Basketball League on. There's NBA on. There is so much basketball. It feels like there's 20 games a day.
Yep.
I love it.
It feels really wild. Like, the bubble was a very manageable amount of basketball to watch in a day, especially towards the end. Like, the beginning was wild, but it's real wild to be back at a regular season where there's 10 games in a day.
And if we don't talk about your team, don't get mad.
We'll cover them at some point. I'm not talking about the Pistons.
This isn't a three-hour pod, so we're going to try to make it clean and tight.
So let's get into it. Let's start with who's hot in the NBA right now.
All right.
Brian, who do you got? Who's hot in the NBA right now? Start us off.
All right. We're going to start at in the Eastern Conference with some atypical teams. And I love to kick off the pod because we may not talk about these teams a whole lot moving forward. The Cavs, the Magic, and the Pacers are all sitting atop the Eastern Conference standings at 3-0.
Are they 1, 2, and 3?
I mean, I think they're all tied. I don't know what the tiebreakers are.
They're tied for
first. But they are all tied for first. I think the point differential is it's not even that. I don't even know how the NBA does that. Maybe the tiebreakers between the teams. But they are all undefeated along with the Atlanta Hawks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So a very atypical group. But, I want to focus on the Cavs, Magic, and Pacers because they're coming out hot. They're much more fun than people thought. We're not hearing about the Bucks at the top. We're not hearing about the Heat. We're not hearing about the Celtics. It's the Cavs, Magic, and Pacers world, and we're just living in it.
Yeah. The Cavs, one of these games that they won was a double overtime win over the Pistons that was a real heartbreaker
Electric.
For me. So.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right. Moving on. I am seeing a bunch of people being like, the Cavs are really fun this year and more people should be watching them. And if you're not watching them, start watching them.
I thought they would be dumpster fires. Like, what are the Cavs doing? What's their strategy? They took on Drummond from the Pistons.
Yeah.
And
he's been doing great though.
Yeah. And so far, like, Darius Garland is doing really well and making progress. Their top pick, Colin Sexton, has been playing really well for the Cavs. So, the post-LeBron era of the Cavs, it looks like they're finding a young little core here.
Yeah, honestly, it's very against my nature to root for any team from Cleveland. It feels very wrong.
Any Ohio team,
really. But I don't know. I'm happy for them. I feel like this is just, we're rolling off of Giannis signing that deal. The Cavs, the Magic, and the Pacers are 3-0. It's a great time to be a small market team right now.
Yeah. And, just shout out to Sabonis, who hit this incredible game-winning layup last night, which was amazing to beat the Celtics. I don't know what the Celtics were doing defensively, but Sabonis broke free for an open layup. It was a tough layup, but he hit it. They won the game there, kept their undefeated streak. And my pick for most improved player of the year, Fultz, 26 points in one of these games. He's coming on strong. I'd love
Had
to see him.
Had you already picked him for most improved player, or are you picking him now?
No, I picked him in the NBA UK account. Shout out NBA UK. Go follow them for that fan account if you don't. I entered in their little draw. I was a day late. Let me back in, guys. I'm sorry. I was just one day late. It was on vacation. I had him as my most improved player, and he's coming out strong.
Nice, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay, did you get everything out you wanted to say with those three teams?
Yeah, I think I just want to give them a shout out. Who do you got as hot, Skylar?
Let's go into the Nets next. I feel like I've just been waiting to talk about the Nets until we got back on the pod, and I'm ready for it.
Let's do it.
Brian, what have you thought of this Nets team so far? It's honestly pretty wild.
I cannot believe Kevin Durant has come back and emerged as the old KD. And, we see there's a lot of superstars in the league that are starting slow. Curry's starting a little slow. There's a lot of stars that look a little sluggish, a lot of teams that look sluggish. KD's been out for, 18 months?
Yeah, to be fair, like Chuck said, he's had, 600 days to get ready for this? It's not, I don't like, it's true. Not that impressive that he's ready.
I just can't believe he's coming back from that injury and looking like he's looked. He is explosive. Yeah. He had this play where he got a pass on the wing and blew by Tatum, who was playing good defense, and just threw it down on them. It's like, how are you supposed to guard that when he can shoot 40% from three and he can attack you and throw it down like that? It's been really impressive. And it doesn't look like he's scared. He's being dunked on a lot. Scary Terry had a huge dunk on him. Scary Terry. But I love that he is challenging people at the rim and he doesn't have fear and he's just going for it this early in the season.
Yeah, you'll see that when guys come off of injuries, that like especially like going up to contest dunks or layups or whatever, like they look scared. They look like they're scared that they're going to come down wrong and re-injure themselves. So it makes me a little nervous, but it is good to see from him, especially with Kyrie. Like him and Kyrie are just both so unstoppable that this team is just incredibly scary, especially when you consider like this team is still so deep. Yep. Like Kyrie rests, they bring in Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie can like take care of the team just as well. Like,
or your guy LeVert.
My guy LeVert.
He's my sixth man of the year pick.
A start to the season. Yeah, he's looked great. I'm really hoping he doesn't get swept away in some sort of trade because I would really love to see him finish out this season with the Nets.
Yeah,
I
was going to say, I thought that they had some trade moves to make, whether it was for Harden, getting rid of LeVert, whatever, but they might want to stand pat. Like they are doing really well and this team looks like it may fit together. They might want to just stay and wait it out until the trade deadline to see kind of how things shake up. Because you're right, everyone's contributing. They look really strong and they have a deep bench.
Everyone looks very like settled in their roles too. Like
already,
it doesn't look like the guys down the bench are like annoyed that they're not getting more time or like, they're very settled in a time where we would not blame them if they were not settled at this point. It's still so early in the season.
Yeah.
I feel like my only concern with the Nets is their defense, which I've seen it go both ways. Sometimes it looks great. But I was watching back some of the highlights from that Charlotte game last night, which they ended up losing. Mm-hmm. And their defense just looked so lazy at some points. Like they basically didn't play defense in the first half. They basically started playing defense in the fourth quarter when they were like, oh, fuck, we're going to lose this.
Yep. I think they might have gotten a little case of, oh, we're playing the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
We can chill. We're blowing teams out.
We're the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, we're the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. Do you want to go into some listener questions? Because we have some good ones for the Nets.
Yeah, let's do it. Question from @BrandonGFX. How far do you think the Nets will go this season, Brian?
I think that they are going to make it to the finals.
I agree.
I don't think I picked that earlier in the season before the season started because I didn't know how KD would look.
Yeah, we need to see him.
I think they just have too much firepower, especially with how the Bucks are looking, the Heat, the Celtics. Like, I think the other teams will pull it together. But KD is just on another level of any other player in the Eastern Conference. And so is Kyrie. Kyrie is scoring more points than KD every game. If they have a good relationship with their depth, I don't see them not making it to the finals this year. Did you like that double negative?
Loved it. Just think about like the coaches they have on that bench too.
I know,
like obviously head coach Steve Nash, but then D'Antoni's right next to him. Who didn't they get another head coach as one of their assistants?
They have a good coaching staff.
I trust them to go far. Let's move on. We got one more question from @MarcelAbbott, friend of the
Marcel.
Are the Nets contenders or pretenders? I think we kind of just answered this.
Contenders, Marcel.
Contenders. Definitely not pretenders.
I don't think they'll win it this year.
Yeah.
But I may change that because they just look so good. I still think the Lakers are too deep, though, and too good at the top this year. I think they'll lose to the Lakers in the finals. But I think they are definitely contenders now that we've seen them for a few games.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Lakers because
Seems
like – thanks, Brian. Been a while since I hosted. Whipped right back into it. It's like riding a bike. It seems like – this Lakers team and this Nets team are probably the two best teams in the league?
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. What have you thought about this Lakers team, Brian?
Biggest takeaway is they brought on Trez. They brought on Schroeder. And they are...
You love saying Schroeder.
Schroeder. They are really good. And they are both huge contributors. They fit in perfectly to their system. we talked about this in the offseason. It's so annoying that the Lakers got so much better in the offseason. Pelinka's mm-hmm. making moves. These were the two bigger moves, and they are contributing. And it's going to be scary with them and what Kuzma's been showing a little bit of flashes of. But my biggest takeaways are Harrell and Schroeder, so strong, and I think they're going to push them over the edge to win this championship again.
Yeah. It was actually cool to see in that Lakers game against the Timberwolves last night, too, to see I almost just said pow, to see Mark Gasol really starting to kind of show flashes of him, of his old self as well. Those first two games, he
rough.
He looked like a washed king, but I think last night was the first time we really saw him kind of be like, oh yeah, Gasol can still fucking play. And even if he's, you know, maybe not fully in season shape yet, maybe
definitely
a little
not
old, he's still like the way he can contribute with assists and his vision on the floor and just like having that basketball IQ on the floor for the Lakers is, I think, makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And just him on the bench. We talked about this on our last pod about LeBron. He loves to pack that bench with veterans, with people who have won it before, good locker room presence. And that's Marc Gasol. I mean, he's going to bring, you can see them talking to each other on the bench. You can see them on the court. He sees them as peers that know what it takes to win a championship because Gasol won a championship. And it just brings that extra level that, you know, maybe teams like the Clippers don't have.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's move on. Who else you got for Who's Hot,
Brian? Skylar, I am not going to let you move on before we talk about Kuzma's performance last night.
I was really trying.
Thoughts on Kuzma? It's
is this
ongoing.
The Kuzma season?
I think he's your arch nemesis in the NBA. So
that is too dramatic. We are not arch
nemesis.
He's
a nemesis. He is a nemesis.
Yeah.
It feels like
of which
you should
there
love
are
him.
Many.
Of which there are many. It feels like you should love him because he's all about the fits. He's, you know, he's on the Lakers. He's a little showboaty. Still don't like him, even though he's from your hometown. How do you think about his performance last night? Where's he from?
One town over.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I can't claim to be from Flint, but I don't know. Great game from Kuzma.
Okay, that's all I'll get from you. That's high praise for Kuzma from a Duchess.
It was even the Queen of Hoops last night was like, "Do you like Kuzma now?" Because I was like, "God damn, Kuzma is having a game," and I was like, "No." But I can acknowledge when he has a good game.
Yeah, I also think it's a testament to the Lakers that we didn't focus on LeBron and AD, who
it's
are
true.
Almost.
I mean,
luxuries.
AD just sat.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, this is a deep team, even when they are taking it pretty slow. Because, I mean, LeBron, he's looked like LeBron
in these
first couple games. But he's definitely taken it easy at the beginning of this season.
He's 36 in like 3 days. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I especially love Bron and Mark. Just two 35-year-olds having themselves a game. Love them. All right, let's move on. Who else you got for Who's Hot, Brian?
Let's go to the Pelicans because they've been on national TV a lot. They did not start hot, but the games yesterday, they got their first dub, I think, of the season. I think that's right. Did they? I think they started on Christmas Day and they finally pulled one out, I think. Let's look here through the standings. Live fact check here. Oh, yeah. No, they're 2-1. They got their second win. So they are truly hot. And I have been so impressed with Brandon Ingram. I think he's finally making that leap that we were all hoping for. Everyone has compared him since he was drafted number 2 overall to the Lakers as the Kevin Durant, the Slim Reaper type. And he hasn't really come through, was obviously in the trade to the Pelicans as one of the big trade pieces. But he might be making the leap this year because he's looked pretty dominant. What do you think about the Pelicans, Skylar?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I feel like I do feel like the Pelicans will make a jump this year, and I feel like it's in large part a thanks to Stan Van Gundy, which, first of all, just so good to see my man Stan Van back on the sidelines, especially not for the Pistons. But he, like, we talked last year, it seemed like the Pelicans had some sort of game plan, and then it turned out they just didn't have any sort of game plan. And it's cool to see, like, last in the bubble, I remember being like, it's really frustrating to watch the Pelicans and see them not make any adjustments during the game. And it's fun to see Stan Van trying to get them to, you know, make the adjustments on defense and trying new sets on offense and really trying to figure out the best ways to utilize the players he has on this team.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just happy that they have Stan Van on their side now.
Yeah. And they're going to be on TV so much because of Zion. Zion still looks a little, you know, a little slow, not quite in game shape. I think his fitness level will be what really determines if he's going to be a star or MVP in this league or not. But he's been strong too. And he looks, when I tweeted this, he's like the juggernaut getting these offensive rebounds. He just barrels into the paint. Everyone flies off of him. He is so explosive. He gets back up to the rim so quickly. It's really incredible to watch. And he just has to work on staying in the game for a long time. He's been looking tired in that fourth quarter. So I'm hoping for the best for Zion. I don't want him to get injured. I want him to be in good shape. They need to take whatever LeBron is doing and just apply it to them, because I want to see these stars. It's so fun having these young stars grow like Ja and Zion. They got to keep themselves healthy.
Yeah. Can we talk about the jerseys this year for just 1 second?
For the Pelicans? I knew you'd bring this up.
So first of all, those Pelican City jerseys.
Terrible.
So terrible. But I want to talk about the cut of the jerseys this year. Is it different? Because I know that a lot of these guys are very out of shape. You can tell. Some of them look a little chonky. No,
I have heard that it frames your body differently than in previous seasons.
Yes. No, I swear. It looks like they're cutting like the shoulders too thin and then like the waist too big. So it's almost like a tent. And it makes them look chonkier than they are.
The chest is tight. I think it's the chest tightness makes them look really blocky and thick. Because you're right. All of them have been looking like that this year.
Yeah. I don't like it. I swear like 2 seasons ago, it was perfect where the jerseys were just perfectly tapered and they were nice and tight. And that's how I like it. So let's get back to that. All right. Is that all you got, Brian, for who's hot? Should we move on to who's not?
Let's go into who's not.
Okay.
Oh, actually, listener question for who's hot, because the Mavs just came off of a blowout win, a historic one. We'll get to that with the Clippers, but just want to shout out Paul Nicholson, friend of the pod, guest of the pod. Is Luka getting better every game he plays? The guy's a straight up bucket. So he answered his own question, Paul, which we appreciate. But is Luka getting better every game, Skylar? Just want to give a shout out because they just blew out the Clippers.
I swear he is. He's good. That man is. Another one who's looking a little chunky at the beginning of the season. Especially his neck. Luka has the biggest neck in the NBA.
He's a big dude.
I swear. I would love the stats on that. Who is the biggest neck in the NBA? I would bet money on it being Luka. I mean, he has no help on this team. And he's fully leading them to having the biggest
blowout in history.
Yeah.
50 points at half.
Yeah. It truly is. He's like the only one contributing on offense. It's really wild.
Yeah.
Talk about another jersey I hate, by the way.
Yeah. So Paul, he is getting better. They're not quite a hot team because they did, you know, they haven't been super strong, but the Clippers one was like, holy shit. Which I think is a good segue. Do you want to go to them next for who's not hot, Skylar? Yes. Okay. Perfect.
Yes. Let's talk about the Clippers. We just mentioned it. Biggest deficit at halftime in NBA history the other night against
50 points at half. They were down 50 at half.
It took them almost the entire first quarter to get into double digits. There was like 3 minutes left in the first quarter and they had 9 points. Nine.
Unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like this happen.
No, not in our NBA watching time have I seen a blowout like that.
No. What do you think happened here, Brian?
Well, I think the Clippers started strong. They beat the Lakers and the Nuggets, both at the top of the Western Conference to start the season with Kawhi. You know, the Lakers were a little sluggish in that ring ceremony game, but the Clippers looked strong with Kawhi. Ibaka, did you see this hit, Scott? How much blood there was when he elbowed Kawhi in the face?
So much blood. Well, it was like around his eye, right? Like that skin is so his mouth.
Yeah. He just took it right to the jaw. It was only 8 stitches. I can't believe he doesn't have a broken jaw or something.
Yeah.
But Ibaka, smashed him. And so Kawhi was out. So I think we're just seeing if Kawhi is out, this team is not good. And yeah. Paul George has been strong so far. I want to shout that out. And he's usually pretty good during the regular season.
But he's had a good start. Let's give him his due, because we will show on him.
We did pledge on Twitter to not have as much pandemic P, playoff P slander this year. But it's pretty hard after a loss like this. And they just didn't have it. I think without Kawhi, they didn't have their leader. They may have been a little burnt from that first week of games. Mm-hmm. And the Mavs were coming off some losses, so wanted to make a point after losing to them in the playoffs last year. And everything fell for the Mavs. Nothing fell for the Clippers. And,
it's just one of those games. Yeah. I do have to, I feel for Clippers fans. Like, it feels like they're just having a tough go of it from the playoffs and the bubble through now. It's just been tough.
Yep.
I don't know. It can only go up from here, Clippers fans.
All I have to say is move to Seattle. Bring back the Supersonics. It's time. It's a Lakers town.
Honestly, I would just love to see Mark Cuban's text to Ballmer after that game. Because did you see Cuban on the sideline during that game going fucking wild like it was the NBA Finals?
Or Ballmer's text to Cuban being like, dude, you need to cool it on the sideline.
Yeah, sit down. You're winning by 50. This is too much.
Yeah, Ballmer, I know you listen to this pod, so just move the team back to Seattle. Ballmer, come on. You live in Seattle. You live in Bellevue. Just come on over.
Yeah. Okay. Was that enough?
Yeah, Clippers? That was enough.
Clippers, I feel like slander. We weren't too mean.
Kawhi, hope you get better soon. The Clippers need you.
Honestly, this Clippers team can never get mad at him for being late to the plane again, is all I have to say. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Warriors. They're a bit of a weird one.
They're a sad one.
It's a sad one. This is another one where I fucking feel for Warriors fans. They thought they were getting Klay back this year. They're like, ooh, we're back in the mix. And it's just been
number two pick.
Probably the worst start possible for them. It's tough. They finally got a dub, though.
They did.
Shut up.
Curry's? No, who is? It's
Damian Lee.
Damian Lee hit the game winner. Who is he married to? We found even more connections.
He is married to Steph's little sister, Sid.
Isn't that crazy?
To be honest, I knew she was married to I knew she was married to an NBA player, but I didn't know which one. And so, I just put that together last night. Also, did you see Callie Rivers Curry? She quote tweeted Steph running up to him after the game hype for him and was like, see, this is how you're supposed to be when your family or your homies have good accomplishments. And I was like, girl.
Dang. But Damian Lee hit that game winner with a lot of confidence. It wasn't even a prayer. It was coming off of an inbounds pass, did a quick curl, hit it with confidence. Something that we are not seeing with Kelly Oubre. Is he going to make a three this year, 2020?
Who knows? I'm so glad I did not take him on my fantasy team. I would have never done that, but I'm just thinking about the people who did. I mean, it's pretty tough when you're starting the season by setting records for how badly you're shooting. Did you see that graphic that I don't know if it was the Warriors team or who put together, but they basically put – it was Oubre and who was
Wiggins.
The other one?
Wiggins,
and Wiggins. Yeah. And their shooting percentages. And then put Klay's. It's Klay shoots 48%.
Yeah, it was
fucking pissed.
Oubre and Wiggins replacing Klay. And it's just they're two for 40 or something from three. It's oh my God.
It said replacing Klay with bricks or something. Come on.
Yeah. Someone said whoever made this graphic is big mad as a Warriors fan. Yeah. It's depressing. We see this from Wiggins. Every year we convince ourselves Wiggins is going to take the leap, and he just is not.
Who's this we? I've never done that.
NBA fans,
I have done it. I'm
GMs,
not doing it now.
I mean, they traded a D'Lo for Wiggins.
Yeah.
And I think the classic was Kelly Oubre dribbling for 20 seconds in the shot clock, put up a contested jump shot from 10 feet with three players on him. And Curry, that's just
Stephen.
The Curry meme. And then Steve Kerr just buries his head in his hands. We need to have better IQ. And Curry said that after the game.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And Draymond's still not back. Hopefully they can make a leap there. But We had a lot of listener questions about the Warriors. Do you want to go into those a little bit?
Yeah, let's get into them. Let's start with Christian Evans at CELWO Sports. Don't know if I'm supposed to spell that out or say it. How can the Warriors drag themselves out of this hole, and do they need to adapt to help accommodate Oubre and Wiggins as they continue to struggle from deep?
What do they have to do to drag them out of the hole? Well, Draymond coming back, I think, will really help. He is that glue that they need on defense because their defensive intensity has been really bad. I don't think he'll accept those IQ plays, and he'll be a more vocal leader. But they might, like, what do you think if they just went full Houston Rockets Skyler and Steph was just the focal part of the, you know, focal point of this offense as the volume shooter?
It's like, what's that Reddit thing people always post? Like, why can't the Warriors just like form a loop around Steph Curry as he shoots?
And let him
that's
shoot.
Literally what they should do.
I don't know what you do with Wiggins and Oubre not shooting as well, where Clay was an integral part of this team and how they played. And it just doesn't seem like Oubre and Wiggins are going to hit that level of IQ and adapt to the system. So it's either got to come from Oubre and Wiggins, or they have to adapt their playing style where they can't be the old Warriors and they need to make adjustments where Steph is the focal point. I'd love to see another Steph MVP run where he pushes them to the playoff by himself.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's honestly kind of their only option at this point. If Wiggins and Oubre don't step up on their own or they can't get whipped into it, that's kind of their only option.
I love this question from Tom Willoughby at Tom_YBB. Thoughts on Warriors' rough start to the season?
It's tough.
It's tough. But next question. Matt Hearn, you want to do this one, Skylar? Because you just talked about not drafting these players on your fantasy team.
Should I drop Wiggins from my fantasy team? Or do you think him and the Golden State Warriors can become good? Drop him.
Drop him. Maybe trade him. See if you can fleece someone. Otherwise, I would drop
him. I don't think people are that dumb right now. I think you got to drop him. That's it.
Thank you, Tom, Matt, and Christian. Love the questions.
Love the questions. Let's move on, Brian. Do you want to talk about your Nuggies?
No, okay. But I will. they're 0-2, right?
Yep.
Are they 0-3 yet? No, they're 0-2. They are currently sitting at the bottom of the Western Conference, which hate to see it for me. Mm-hmm. Hate that for me. And, you know, they've lost the Clippers and the Kings. Jamal Murray just needs to step up. They're a team that is completely dependent on Jokic and Murray playing their two-man game, having Michael Porter Jr. on the wing doing his thing. And Jamal Murray has been bad, and they're not going to win if Jamal Murray is bad. He needs to show that he's ready to take that next step and do it consistently, because the only reason they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year is because Jamal Murray was able to do it game in, game out. Previous seasons, he would have one good game, three bad ones, one good one, two bad ones. He needs to do it consistently, or they're not going to make any noise in the Western Conference this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough when Jamal Murray is averaging less points than Michael Porter Jr. when Michael Porter Jr. is getting 10 less minutes than he is. That's a pretty rough start to the season. I will say, I did think when the Kings won that game on a buzzer beater and they just immediately ran off the court. It's so funny.
That's his
thing. I watched
that
video like 3 times. I know. I didn't know that until this. It's so funny. I also have to say, this will cheer you up a little bit, Brian.
Okay.
Big fan of those red Nuggets jerseys.
Oh, yeah. The Nuggets, we have some of the best jerseys in NBA history. The rainbow skylines, the 90s Nuggets logos. It's just, we're just a good fashion team. Let me amend that. The players are terrible
awful
at fits. So vanilla. Just they come in their sweatpants and sweatshirts for the game. But the on-court jerseys are really good. So shout out to the Nuggets design team there.
Yeah. Anything else to say there?
Nope.
Great. Let's move on to the Bucks.
Let's do it.
So they are they 1-2?
1-2. Yep.
They're 1-2. Giannis has struggled early. He missed a heartbreaking free throw to tie it, to win it. I think
It was to send it to overtime. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, what have you thought of this Bucks team so far?
I thought the acquisition of Jrue Holiday and trading Bledsoe was going to be huge for them because mm-hmm. they needed a defensive stopper. They needed someone who can come through in clutch moments. Drew Holiday hit that huge three-pointer at the end of the fourth to go ahead, which is absolutely what they need Drew to do. I was like, holy shit, this is going to transform that team, finally get them over the hump. But they lost to the Celtics. They only beat the Warriors, who are terrible, and they lost to the Knicks by 20.
Yeah.
Giannis is still struggling with free throws, still doesn't look like he has much of a mid-range or outside shooting game. Middleton has been playing great, and they're still losing like this.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned. I, you know, especially with the Nets looking like how they're looking.
Yep.
He signed the extension. He's going to be there for a while. So they have some flexibility to try to build this team over the next, you know, 3 or 4 years before he decides to push his way out and go to the Lakers, as every superstar does. But yeah, I'm a little shocked that they've come out so slow.
Yeah, me too. It almost feels like because Giannis signed that extension, the urgency is gone. Like, I felt urgency with that team last year to win a championship last year because they weren't sure if he was going to re-sign. It felt like that was kind of their opportunity. And it feels like that urgency is kind of gone. And I wonder if they're, like, seeing the Nets, seeing the Lakers this year, and they're kind of like, it's not our year.
But, I mean, that should motivate them even more. I mean, like, we are the one. This is our conference. Because
they definitely could.
Yes.
It's weird.
It's disappointing. And Giannis needs to step up because I love Giannis. He is so good for the league. He is such a talented player, but I would hate if the slander this season was, great, he can dunk. Like, KD is clearly 2 times better. Harden wins this because he's putting up 44 in these games. Yep. And Giannis is, you know, not a playoff player because he doesn't have that many tools in his tool belt. And I would hate that narrative. I want him to add to that game and be the next face of the league with Doncic, but it's tough right now.
Yeah.
So I like those overreactions.
Yeah. I mean, we're 3 games in. All of these, to be honest, are overreactions.
When he missed that free throw, there was a lot of tweets like, did Giannis just lose the MVP in the first game? It's like, all right, let's take it a little slower.
Let's calm down. Yep. Let's finish up on who's not with the Celtics. The Celtics they're what? 1-2? Have they won a game? 1-2. So they beat the Bucks on that. It was, I mean, not to say it was a fluke, but they definitely could have. That was their game to lose.
Yeah, Tatum played great.
Yeah, definitely. And then they lost to the Nets and the Pacers. The Pacers, that was another heartbreaker. Sabonis hit that, layup at the end? So I feel a little bad putting them in who's not. It feels like this is a big overreaction. These are two very close games. They could just as easily be 3-0.
I think it's expectations, though. You know, we had high expectations for them. They got blown out by the Nets. They lost to the Pacers. And we're like, all right, come on. Like, you step up here.
Yeah. Let's wait it out on these Celtics teams, on this Celtics team. I feel like they could just as easily be 3-0. Let's give them a little pass. We won't put them in who's not just quite yet. Let's finish up with two last listener questions. We've got our first one from Ash at Cathedral Sport.
What up, Ash?
The pod. Do you think the Heat acquiring Avery Bradley was the best piece of business in the East this year?
Do you want to answer that first, Heat fan?
Go for it, Brian.
All right. I think, yes, it's one of the best.
Yeah.
I think they needed more depth on their bench, as we saw last season in the finals when Dragic got hurt and then they didn't really have that many other players to turn to. And having another strong wing player, defensive-minded, seems like he fits in that Heat culture well just from his attitude on the court and his playing style. And he's been really strong for him. So I think he's going to be a huge addition, a very sneaky move from the Heat to get Avery Bradley. And it's going to be really good, especially with Dragic looking so good again.
Yeah.
And not washed. He's, what, 35, 36 too?
Yeah, he's up there too.
After that injury in the finals. So, yeah, I think this was a sneaky good pickup, Ash.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else I could add. Final question, Josh Coyne at Poundcoyne, big fan of the pod.
What's up, Double Clutch?
Analyze Kemba's courtside fit for me because the different color waistcoat is stressing me out in an otherwise excellent look.
Thank you, Josh.
I am with you on this. I was also very confused. He was wearing like a burgundy suit jacket and pants, like matching. And then the waistcoat was black. And it was very weird. I'm with you on this. I didn't understand it. Didn't like the look. But you know what? It was one of the first games of the season. Maybe he's just trying something. Maybe he's just trying some looks out.
Why not?
I feel
there's no fans.
I've seen much worse from NBA players. So I feel like, eh, Kemba, maybe do better. But also, it's fine.
Can't wait to see you back in a jersey instead of a waistcoat.
Yeah, seriously. Let's move on to beefs.
Oh, I was worried we wouldn't have one. I know.
It's been so long since we talked about beefs. I'm so excited. All right, Brian, I'm going to run you through the explainer for this one, and then you're going to hit us with your thoughts on it. We are talking Trae Young, Grayson Allen today. So on Sunday, Trae Young tweeted a video of Grayson Allen appearing to trip him. He tweeted a GIF of the game that they had just played. And I won't say for sure, but it looks like Grayson Allen is trying to trip him, is what I'll say.
It did look like that.
Grayson Allen quote tweets that tweet and says, "Damn, that must have really, really hurt. I'm sorry. I hope you're okay." Grayson Allen just like being exactly who everyone thinks he is and just fulfilling all the stereotypes about him. It's like, this doesn't seem like it should be that much of a beef, but they actually have a history. So in summer league, they had gotten into this scuffle because Grayson Allen was once again trying to trip Trae Young. And then I think Trae Young was just getting pissed. And like a couple months later, they were playing again and Grayson Allen's like driving to the basket and Trae Young just fully pushes him over.
Yeah, after fouling him. Fouled him and then just shoved him.
Yeah, he fouls him and then shoves him to the ground. Yep. It's very funny. Brian, what did you think about this?
I mean, Grayson Allen has been doing this since his Duke days. He became probably the most hated college player in basketball. And he's just got to stop. He's got to stop tripping people. I know it kind of helps that he's just like a role player and not a superstar because it's kind of like the Bill Laimbeer where it's like, all right, you're not the star, but you're like the tough, you're going to foul people. But tripping is not a hard foul. Tripping is dirty. It, you know, Achilles injuries, ankle injuries, knee injuries, like anything twisting. I hate this. Grayson Allen, stop fucking tripping people.
And especially stop trying to trip like the youngest, most fun player we have. Like, don't take him away from us, Grayson Allen. No one gives a fuck about you, Grayson.
You know, I love beefs in general. I think they add a very fun element to the NBA. But I just like don't trip people. Yeah. It did look, no one knows if he was trying to, but he definitely lifted his foot after stepping on his heel in the slow-mo. And it's like, Grayson, don't do this. Like, hard fouls are okay. You know, I'll even accept a little shove, you know, after a foul just to like,
I'm
know,
from the Detroit. I love a shove.
Shoves are fine, but because shoves don't hurt you. It's just making a statement. You can have those beefs on the court, but don't twist people's legs. Don't trip people because that's what leaves if Trae Young had a career ending injury on a Grayson Allen trip, get him out of
the league. People would literally put hits against Grayson Allen's life if that happened.
So Grayson, just stop tripping people if you're listening.
I think that's a good way to end it. Let's move on to roasts.
Yes. I love that we're back. The Sunday roast pod, I just love it.
I know. I'm so happy to be back. We've conveniently not talked about him all pod, not talked about this team all pod. Brian, would you like to take us away with some roasts?
You want me to set this up?
Yeah, set it up.
So we talked about it in our emergency pod a couple weeks ago, but James Harden – went to a few clubs in the off season leading up to the NBA preseason and was late checking into, training and getting into the team, didn't report to the team on time. The NBA did an investigation. If you violated those, COVID measures that were put in, fined him $50,000. I think they didn't suspend him. I think they just said like, you have a mandatory 4-day or 5-day quarantine or something. And any game you miss, you'll be, you won't get that salary, obviously, which is like $250,000 a game, which is insane. But
I mean, that's a couple nights at a club.
I mean, it's one good night in Vegas. Yeah. And he made a statement on his Instagram story basically saying, I was supporting my girl who's a boss. It wasn't a strip
She's
club.
She's becoming a boss.
It's like, all right, James Harden, like you went somewhere without a mask. You broke obvious NBA guidelines around how you should be quarantining leading up to the season. And then to make matters worse, the whole fucking team had COVID popping up where they couldn't even field eight people against OKC. So they had to reschedule it because they all went to a barbershop together. They went to an apartment to get haircuts. They went to this other player went somewhere. So it was like Boogie and John Wall. And it was just, it was a mess to start the season. And after such like 100% no COVID cases in the bubble to before the season even starts to set this example, it's just disappointing. And it's disappointing James Harden's treating the Rockets this way after all they've done for him over the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, I am, I would say, one of the bigger James Harden defenders.
Me
I'm
too.
A big fan of James Harden. This is not defendable in any way. He's fully putting people's lives at risk with this. And so that's kind of where we draw the line at defending James Harden. I think the funniest part of this for me was his Instagram story response when he was ruled ineligible to play that game. And you brought it up a little bit. He was like, I had to go. My friend was becoming a boss. Like, what does that even mean, James Harden? Yeah. It's also like, okay, this is a very serious thing and you're responding like this. Like, it was stupid. But I also just think it's funny, like, every couple days we get a Woj tweet about James Harden expanding the teams that he would allow being traded to.
The holdout right now, especially as he drops like 44 on the Blazers with just an incredible dad bod. Just bringing it to the season.
About the chonky NBA players.
Love Harden coming out like that. Inspiration for people coming into a season out of shape. Yeah. But this holdout, how he's treating the Rockets, like we've talked about on a few other pods. I think it sets a really bad example for the league and for younger players.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Brian, let's move on. My favorite segment.
Yes.
We're fully back. Let's move on to NBA fits of the week.
All right, I'm opening them up.
Okay,
get to grade them? Do I get to agree?
Yeah.
What's my role in this segment now?
It's the same thing. I'm going to roll them off for you. I'm going to give you a little description, and you're going to tell us which one is your favorite, which ones you don't understand.
I took some time in the off season to educate myself more on these fits, on fashion overall. You've helped me a lot here. So I feel like I'm in a better place now than just being like, I don't get it. It doesn't match.
Yeah.
My favorite is it doesn't match. I don't know. I don't like it.
Let's start with Russ. It's been a long off season. It hasn't, but I'm very excited to have Russ walk in Fitz back. And he really opened on a strong note with this season opener.
Ooh, love this one.
So this is a fun outfit because he actually just did a shoot in this outfit. He designed his shoes with, I think it's a Japanese designer. So I just read an interview with him and that Japanese designer. It was a really cool story. With a full Jordan outfit, the Jordan fleece, kind of tonal pink, blue, and green jacket with the graphic tee underneath and the matching green joggers. I actually think he designed this outfit with Jordan as well. Mm-hmm. Brian, what do you think about this look?
I love this.
Yeah.
It's unique. It's very Westbrook, so it feels very on brand.
Yeah.
Love the Jordan cohort set. Is this a cohort set?
It might be.
Okay.
I don't know if the pants are fully meant to match the jacket.
And I love the colors. I think they pop out of this outfit. The tee underneath is great. I love this one. I would love to wear this one and look just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, so I was just going to say, it's really rare that we have an outfit that is very Westbrook, but also feels very wearable for normal people. And I would actually say this outfit is very wearable for normal people.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love this one.
Okay, let's move on. We're going to go to D'Angelo Russell next.
Love it.
Popped up in a matching black and white gingham cohort set with a white mock neck.
Turtleneck? Yeah.
It's a mock neck, not a turtleneck.
A mock turtleneck.
A mock neck. I personally love this look mostly because I want to wear this look. but what do you think of it, Brian?
Yeah, shout out to the Duchess recreating NBA fits. Can't wait for that series to keep going. I like this one too. I want to try it out. These are like both of these fits so far are ones where I'm like, I could like step up my game a little bit and do this. I wouldn't look absolutely ridiculous. And I love the watch as well. I think it's, you know, I think it really complements the outfit. So love this one.
Yeah, good call out there, Brian.
Thank you.
Richard Mille watch.
Yep, I'm there.
Nice. Okay, let's finish up with Serge Ibaka. This is like, if there's ever going to be like a top three NBA players who like make it into my fits of the week, it's these three.
Yeah.
It's Ibaka, it's D'Lo, and it's Russ.
Yep.
We're finishing up with Ibaka. I think this was his first, the first game of the season look. Came in with a navy and white pinstripe pants and a white Givenchy tee with a nice crossbody army bag. I don't know who the bag is made by. With a nice hat. Serge Ibaka loves a good hat. Brian, what do you think of this look? This is like one of those looks where, yeah, he loves these hats. This is one of these looks where if you put this on a normal person, it just looks like an outfit. But because Serge Ibaka is built like Serge Ibaka, it just looks incredible.
Yeah, that's my note, is that I don't like it because it's a t-shirt and dress pants and sneakers and
but
a cowboy hat.
But how good does he look?
And he looks amazing. And I know that if I just put this on, I would look terrible. So yeah. I'm just frustrated that this is one of those looks where it's like, oh, he has an NBA player's body.
Yeah.
And so this outfit looks good on him. And it frustrates me.
That's very fair. Which is your favorite look of these, Brian?
Westbrook. I love this. I love that he is a part of this design process. I love that he has such an interest in fashion outside of the game, and he's bringing that, you know, in his walk-in fits. I just wish, you know, the Wizards would win a game.
Yeah, that's a fair wish. Okay, Brian, let's finish up this episode with a little BBL recap.
Love it.
Take it away.
Yeah, let's go through a little BBL recap. So we're just going to do some highlights here. We covered the BBL Cup quarterfinals that are leading into the semifinals. There's a lot of great stuff happening in the BBL right now, but we were on a little bit of a Christmas break. So let's go back a little bit to before Christmas, where the Flyers beat the Scorchers by 20. So Skylar, your Scorchers are still trying to figure it out. Any thoughts on any updated thoughts on the Scorchers, just trying to support them? Will them through this time?
I remember when I was trying to choose my BBL team, I did not want to choose a team that would cause me endless pain, because that is what the rest of my teams who I was not able to choose have done. And I think I accidentally did that.
I think you're the cause.
I'm used to it. Let's move. Yeah. I might be the cause.
What's the Scorchers record since you went on record saying I'm a Scorchers fan? Not good.
We don't need to look into that.
Flyers, Eric Lockett at 20-3. Great game. Impressive win for the Flyers. Scorchers, you know, Evan Walsh has been great coming up from the NBL. Connor Kashaw had 16-5-5. But the Scorchers always just come out really sluggish and slow. I don't know what it is for their first half, but they're definitely a second-half team, but just never have it enough to move on and win those games. Let's go next to the Eagles and the Cheshire Phoenix. They battled, and the Eagles won by one
close
point.
One.
Our newcomer to the BBL, our guy Jimbo Lull.
Incredible name.
Top BBL name. Had 30-11. So he has been huge for the Phoenix.
Yeah.
But again, Eagles just have too much firepower. Not only do they have Ramon Fletcher, who's coming out as another MVP candidate after he's already won two of them, but Evan Maxwell had 19-8. Justin Gordon had 22-4-4. They just have too many contributors.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are just strong. And Skylar, do you think
strong
there is something about coming on the High Tea Hoops podcast that just makes these teams better?
Absolutely.
Other than the Scorchers.
I mean, we haven't had a Scorchers player yet. So
true. We did have Coach Creon. Great guest.
But like we said, I wasn't on that pod. So I think I'm the reason the Scorchers are so bad right now. And I'm also the reason
the Eagles are good. And the Lions are good?
Sure. I don't know where I was going with that.
All right. That's all fair. All right. Let's go next to the Sharks, who after, you know, they were struggling a little bit in the group of death in the BBL Cup, but they have come on really strong this season. They're fighting for top of the table a little bit. Mm-hmm. They beat the Rocks by 18. Gareth Murray showed out a little bit as that player coach, kind of in his veteran years here. Issa Brandon had 21-5-5. But Nick Lewis, who Kevin Ware shouted out as being nice, so you know he's good, 32-7, and then Hemsley had 23-4. So, you know, they don't need a big contribution from Mike Tuck, and they're, you know, making some names for themselves on the court. So love a good Nick Lewis game.
Mike Tuck at least once every podcast.
I mean, I checked the box. It's there at the top of the outline. So I had to get through there. And this is just a good win for the Sharks. They should beat the Rocks, who are, you know, a little bit depleted. They signed two new Americans who hadn't joined the team at this point, but good win for them.
Yep.
Moving on, the Manchester Giants beat the Raiders 88-79. This was a statement game. The Giants, you know, coming into new ownership, have had a history of not playing that well, not being very, very good in the BBL. And came down to the Raiders, who have been playing really well lately. Ashley Hamilton's an MVP candidate. And they beat him. Lyle Hexham had 29-7. Jordan Whelan had 25-6. And even if Ashley Hamilton had 22-7, like, the Giants won this game. Yeah. And we talked about this while we were watching it. Impressive win, and impressive that Hexham and Whelan are stepping up. What do you think of this win, Skylar?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, to have two of your players step up that big to take down this Raiders team, it was just a really impressive win, just a really solid team win.
And did we ever get your thoughts on the record of the Giants' new branding? Love it? Hate it? Lukewarm?
I feel like it's definitely really nice and clean. Have you been seeing this on Twitter, though, where, like, you see logos go from, like, very detailed and very colorful to then very simplistic, and people get kind of nostalgic for, like, the kind of old bad logos? It's like I almost looked at it and had that reaction. Like, I was kind of like, oh. But then it's also like, it does look way nicer and way cleaner, and it'll look great on everything. So good for them. I think it's great.
All right. New season, new logo, and they're doing pretty well with big performances. So shout out to the Manchester Giants. Then we have the Lions whooped the Wolves 103-71. This was a statement game for the Lions. We watched this together. Yep. They finally are coming into their own a little bit, Skylar. What were some of your takeaways from this game?
I mean, I think Dirk Williams had just an incredible game. Like six threes.
God, he's on fire.
It's insane. For 22 points, Orlando Parker stepped up big for the Lions. 25
great
points.
Signing. He's
great
like that
signing.
Big
it
stretch
seems like
four,
they needed,
stretch five.
Yeah, it seems like they maybe needed one or two more pieces at the beginning of the season where they were kind of struggling. And now they're really starting to kind of fit together and really settle into their roles. So I think this Lions team is pretty much only going to get better from here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the Lions without talking about Kevin Ware and DeAndre Liggins. And that's because these role players are stepping up and they are fitting better. I think the Parker signing, him being that stretch big, because before it was really clogged in the paint, and his ability to kind of stretch the floor out and give some more spacing, it's really good to see. The Wolves, you know, NBA again, 20-11, stepped up big, but just don't have enough talent to take on the Lions. And maybe, you know, no team in the BBL has enough to take down the Lions. We'll see as the BBL Cup goes, as the season progresses, because the Lions said they're going to win every trophy. They're going to win it all.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that comes true.
We'll see.
Just last note here, because the Eagles played the Rocks in kind of one of the last games of the season. Christian Keeling, who is the new signing for the Rocks, came into his first game, signed him. He flew over here, put up 26 points. And even though they lost, because the Eagles are the Eagles and Fletcher had 29-10, good signing. It looks like there's some more firepower coming to the Rocks, and just wanted to shout out those new signings. I'm excited to see how they progress with the team.
Yeah, they definitely needed some more firepower. So
yeah, Johnny Bunyan can't do it all.
He can't do it all.
Can't do it
so
all.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting to see him come in his first game and contribute like that. So hopefully.
And that's the
on the way for the Rocks.
That's the BBL roundup. Excited for the rest of the season to take place in the new year. BBL Cup, the Lions playing in the FIBA Europe Cup. Maybe Byron Mullins will eventually come back from his back injury. But yeah, a lot of exciting stuff happening in the BBL moving forward.
Yep. We will see you back here later this week for a very exciting interview.
I know. Shout out Manchester Giants. It's a special guest from the Giants. So
yeah,
looking forward to that one.
See you then.